mind, in my heart. In fact, as I was preparing to preach today, I was moving in a different direction entirely. And Elder John Ponjakin quoted this scripture to me, and it has totally impacted me greatly. I want to share that impact with you today, share a little bit of their story as we're still believing God for a great miracle for Sister Anna even today. Daniel chapter 3, picking up at verse number 17. Daniel chapter 3, picking up at verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And I will give a little bit of the context, but I'm purposely missing or omitting much of the context because I'd like for you to put your life into that circumstance right there. Some sort of trial by fire in your life right now, and grab a hold of the faith of these young men that said, our God will deliver us. Our God will heal us. Our God will provide for us. Our God will lead whatever it is for you. And then verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want to preach to you for a little bit from this thought, a win-win proposition, a win-win proposition. Would you ask the Lord to just pour out his spirit and perform miracles here today that even extend beyond this building, that even extend beyond everyone here, but flows through us to others. Let's pray together with faith and passion right now. Praise God. I want to make a statement. You just shout amen. In the name of Jesus, there's victory.
Amen.
En el nombre de Jesús tenemos fe.
Amen.
Price to hair. In whatever language, we have a great God today. And he's in this place. And he is ready to meet every need. It doesn't matter what your background is. You may feel like nobody in this building knows who you are, but Jesus knows who you are, and today is your day. You may be seated. The American Heritage Dictionary gives several definitions for this phrase, a win-win proposition. But the one that I am focusing on that I believe applies to this passage in Scripture and to what God is trying to speak to us today is simply this: beneficial regardless of the outcome. In other words, no matter what happens, it's going to be good for me. It's like some of y'all that are getting your kids to the age where on Friday night, they're going off with the young people and it's just you and your sweetheart. It's going to be good no matter what happens. Oh, I wish you would have given me an amen there, some of you guys. Amen. You had a great opportunity there. It's like when my wife says, you know, I could make pasta or I can make beef stroganoff. It's gonna work out for me no matter what. Don't be nervous if it sounds like I had to come up with a... It's not going to work out for me, no. But the fact is, there are certain circumstances in life, and maybe not a whole lot on some occasions, but if you look at all the options, you can determine, man, this is a win-win for me. And yet it seems like in a very unusual circumstance, three believers, three followers of God in the Old Testament were put to the test. Their faith was literally tried by fire, and they had reached a situation where it was determined either you bow to the false idol and the image that has been set up, or we're going to throw you into a furnace and you're going to be burned by the fire. And I'll just pause here and say there had to be some people in the crowd that thought, you know what, God sees my heart. I'm going to bow on the outside, but he knows I'm standing on the inside. It's a win-win for me. Because God knows that, boy, he don't want me in that fire. And that's not what I'm preaching about today. But these three young people, they said it is a win for us. This is a win no matter what happens, because they declared to the king, we will not bow, we will not worship the idols of this world, we will not serve the idolatry of our culture, our generation, we will stand for the one true God. They said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We know our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They were so bold and so confident. They said, wait a minute, you're telling us that if we don't bow down, we're going to burn up. Well, that's a win for us, because as sure as you try to throw us in that fiery furnace, our God is so big, our God is so mighty, that he's going to step in to the middle of our situation, and he is going to literally deliver us out of thy hand. From their perspective, it was a win for them. And then, to top it all off, they said, if not, we're still not gonna bow, and that's a win for us too. And I see in their response a simple connection with the faith and the trust that you and I must have in our journey with Jesus every single day that we live. Our faith rises to every occasion, and we shout, we declare with our lives, our God is able, we win. That's our faith. Our God will save us. We win. That's our faith. Our God will heal us. We win. That's our faith. Our God will provide for us. We win. That's our faith. But then trust is there simultaneously, and trust says, even if he don't, I'm going to serve him. Even if he doesn't, I'm gonna trust him. Even if it turns out different than what I had ever imagined, faith says God can, faith says God will, but trust says it just doesn't matter. He's my God no matter what happens. I think it is helpful to consider the marriage, if you will, of faith and trust that is in the life of every believer that is here today, that faces your own trials, your own fiery furnace, if you will, and yet you come to the table with confidence, God will, God will, God will. But at the same time, if God doesn't, I trust him. Now, to me, it would seem that out of the mouth of those boys, that those two statements don't even make sense. They shouldn't even be connected with each other, because on one hand, they say, we know God can and we know God will. Oh, my, the faith. But then in the very next sentence, they say, but if he don't. Now, I don't see a lack of faith in that declaration. I don't think that diminishes their confidence in God in any stretch for them to say in one breath, God can and God will, and in the next breath, even if he don't. Because their faith is married to their trust that we know God can and we know God will. But even if he doesn't, then we're just going to trust he's got a plan that's bigger than our plans. He's got a purpose in this. And so even if he don't, still I will trust him. Praise God. I believe that today God is going to answer prayer. I believe that today miracles are going to happen. But God responds to faith. And as someone comes in just a moment to this altar, you are bringing your faith that says God can and God will. But along with that, there are others that you are facing the trial of your faith. Your faith has been put to the test of fire. And as you come, don't you dare doubt your faith. You still believe God can. You still believe God will. But there is something so God-honoring for you to say, I know God can and I know God will. I'm coming to the altar because I believe today is my day. But as I turn around and walk out the door, I want you to know, no matter what happens, I'm going to serve him. No matter what happens, I'm going to worship him. No matter what happens, I'm going to bless him. Praise God. And so I asked Elder Pondekin, can I share what you share with me? And as his wife is recovering from a stroke, and as the situation seems to be getting more dire, and God is working, we know. But yesterday, out of nowhere, he brings up this verse in my hearing. He says, Pastor, even though we've gotten a very negative report from the doctor, all I can think about is what happened in Daniel. Because those young people said, we know God can and we know God will. And this is what he said to me, and I asked for permission to repeat it. He said, but even if he don't, God is still a healer. And something about that statement got a hold of me, because I thought, my goodness, there goes a picture of true Christianity right there. No matter what trial I'm going through, no matter what impossibility I'm facing, I know God can and I know God will. But even if he don't, he is still my savior. He is still my healer. He is still my blesser. He is still my provider. Come on, my brothers and sisters, I thank God for those among us that are a testimony of faith and a testimony of trust. No matter what, I know he can, I know he will, but if he don't, he's still worthy. If he don't, I still love him. If he don't, he's still blessing me. Oh, let's thank the Lord for that. I do not know every circumstance and situation that is represented by this beautiful, wonderful gathering of brothers and sisters today. Many of you that call Heaven View your church home, but others that you are definitely friends of this church, and you come when you can, and we love you and appreciate you being here. And yet I know behind every face and behind every family, there is a depth of those kind of trials and struggles and questions and heartaches and setbacks that would cause a lot of grown men to tremble. But amongst this congregation, there are people of faith that are certain. I know God can, and I know God will. I know my marriage is struggling, but I know God can, and I know God will. I know my kids are going through some trouble, but I know God can, and I know God will. I know the doctor has given me a negative report, but I know God can, and I know God will. I know the finances are upside down, but I know God can, and I know God will. I thank God for that kind of faith, because that kind of faith moves God to move the mountain. Praise God. But along with that kind of faith, there is a level of trust that is here amongst believers. Maybe there are some that struggle with this, but there are many that have learned the concept and it has become your lifestyle. I know God can. I know God will. That is my faith. But let me tell you something. If he don't, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to serve him. I've got faith and I've got trust in Jesus Christ. Praise God. We haven't said too much about it, but if you were to visit the hospital right now, it's just really important that we give Sister Ponjikin room and space to heal. The doctors have asked for no guest, but in the very next room, up until last night, because we got another miracle, but in the very next room in intensive care all this week has been another sister from Heaven View. And if you really look at the details, you could see where it would have been very easy for both of these situations to have been reversed. That's just how life is. Because in one bed, there is someone that desperately needs a miracle. But in another bed, just over the other side of the wall, there is someone that is rejoicing because the miracles have happened to the degree that even the doctors have said, we don't really think that you should be the one sitting in that bed after what we looked at on your chart and after what could have happened to you. Let me tell you something. It's the same church. It's the same God with the same power. But right now, we're in two different situations, but what does remain similar from both of those individuals and both of those families is a faith and a trust in God. But right now, the outcomes look horribly different. Same trust, same faith, same God, same church, same confidence, same prayers, but the outcome right at this moment looks very different. You know why? Because there is something about our Christianity that at the end of the day we can say, Lord, I believe you can, I believe you will, but no matter what, you're my God, you're my Savior, you're my Lord, you're my healer. And God is saying to somebody today, if you will put your faith in God, if you will put your trust in God, you will see every miracle that he has promised you. And if you face a challenge where you don't see what you thought you would see, just trust him. Just worship him. Just serve him. Oh, would you clap your hands and lift your voice out? I wish somebody from their soul would clap their hands as if to say, what a mighty God we serve. I wish somebody would clap their hands as if to say, the name of Jesus is powerful. I wish somebody would clap their hands as if to say, anything is possible. I believe that God is saying to this church family and to individuals and families in particular, God is saying, we win. Amen? No matter what the outcome is, we win. God is calling somebody to victory today in the face of impossibility, in the face of difficulty. He's wanting you to come in just a moment to this altar with a faith that says, I know God can and I know God will. No matter what the doctors have said, no matter what your finances say, no matter what it looks like in your marriage or in your family, come to the altar today with an attitude that says, I know God can and I know God will. And God is saying, if you come to the altar with your faith, you win. And if you come to the altar with your trust, you win. It's a win-win proposition. If I come to the altar saying, I know you can and I know you will, and that's what he does, I win. But if I come to the altar and I say, I know you can and I know you will, but if he don't, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to live for you, we win. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through faith, we are convinced God is able to deliver. God is able to heal. God is able and he will do the impossible for us. And through trust, we are convinced, regardless of the outcome, he is still my God. So through faith we win. Through trust we win. Either way, we win. Either way. I was hanging out with my family, and because I'm not that cool, but try to be cool, some of y'all will immediately understand how foolish this was, but I did one of these for Linder. And they said, no, Dad, that doesn't mean Linder, that means loser. I'm not that cool. But I think sometimes the enemy tries to stamp on our heads that we are losers. Because we prayed and there's still the cancer. We prayed and there's still the marriage trouble. We prayed and the kids are backslid. And then we start saying, well, maybe I didn't have enough faith. Oh, please don't go down that road and let the devil convince you of something that is a lie. You need to come to every situation in your life. You need to face every challenge in your life with 100% confidence. I know God can and I know God will. And then let God have his way. And then regardless of the outcome, let there be something inside of your heart. I know God can. I know God will. But if he don't, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. If he don't, I'm going to be a giver. If he don't, I'm going to be a worshiper. If he don't, I'm going to plug into ministry. If he don't, I'm going to serve him. Because either way, we win. Now, I'm going to be a little bit transparent, and so you can pray for me, but I can be a little bit cynical with the Lord. Probably I'm the only one. So when I walk into a hospital room, and here's somebody that looks like they're healthier than me, but then I walk into another hospital room, and I'm like, oh, God, what's going to happen here? You know what I say to the Lord? What's the deal? You're the same God when I walk in this room. You're the same God when I walk in that room. I pray basically the same prayer. Probably some of you do that too, right? If I find out somebody's sick, I don't have a special prayer for the sick people I like and another prayer for the sick people I've been praying for another way. I don't play that way. Same prayer, same God. And guess what? Whole lot more than me been praying for those people and everybody in here. So it's the same God. It's the same prayer. It's the only thing separating us is a wall. And we got Bible for God going right through walls. And so I'm like, God, what's the deal? Because you're the same God in this room as you are in that room. And yet I am reminded all over again, and God had to use an elder that right now is facing a challenge with the wife of his youth, over 40 years of loving and serving, standing side by side with this precious woman of God. As far as I know, they basically have just been everything that you would want them to be, model Christians. I don't know anybody in this room that could throw a stone at that couple and say, well, this, that, or the other, as if God would be someone that would be arbitrary like that. As far as we know, if anybody's got faith, if anybody's got confidence in God, it's that family. And yet, even this moment, as they're there, most of them in the hospital, they're waiting for God to do the miracle. And we have to get to the point where we realize, and the elder was able to tell me when he said, you know what, Pastor, here's where we're at. I know God can, and I know God will, but if he don't, that's what he said. He's still a healer. And that reminded me, it's great to have faith in God, but we need to have trust in God. It's great to see the miracle, but we need to see Jesus when we don't see the miracle. It's great for our kids to pray through, but we need to pray through even if our kids don't pray through. It's great for our spouses to get back where they need to be, but even if they don't, we need to be what we need to be. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Down to Psalm 18 and verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Every single one of us that have ever prayed and fasted for the supernatural, we need to keep praying and we need to keep fasting. We probably need to do more praying and more fasting. But let me tell you something, at the end of the day, when we come before an impossibility, saying, I know God can and I know God will, regardless of the outcome, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. You are my shield. You are my protector. You're my healer, but you're my protector. You're my provider, but you're my protector. You've got me, God. You've got me, God. I don't want to be numbered amongst the disciples that can be in the middle of the storm and say, God, don't you even care? 1,000 times no. I want to be numbered amongst those that say, even though I'm in a storm, he's in my heart. He's on my vessel. He's in my family. He's in my home. Everything's going to be all right. Eventually, the wind is going to die down. Eventually, the rain is going to cease. Eventually, he's going to speak, peace be still. Is there anybody that would raise their hands and say, you know what, God, I trust you that way. I trust you that way. I've seen a lot of miracles, Lord, but for the miracles I haven't seen, you're still my Lord. You're still my Savior. Can you say amen? Amen. I was reading a book recently entitled The Insanity of God. And there's a story, a true story in that book about a believer by the name of Dmitry in Russia. This is about the time when communism was so strong in Russia, they were doing a lot of things, including shutting down churches wherever they could. To the point that Dmitry, who was not in the ministry, he was just a good old guy with a wife and 2 boys. The closest church for them was a 3-day walk. And so they could only get to that service sparingly. And of course, it was a government-controlled church, so it probably lacked a lot of things. So Dimitri said to his wife, why don't we just get together once a week in our house and I'll tell some Bible stories and we'll pray so our sons can have a connection with God. So that's what they did. Some of their neighbors in that little village found out, before you know it, there's 25 people getting together once a week in this little house. They're just sharing Bible stories as they remember them, praying together, just loving the Lord. You would think that with that kind of faith, that God would just put angels all around that little house and protect them. But that was not the case. Eventually, the people in that little town that worked with the government, they found out and they came and they threatened Dimitri. If you keep doing this, there's going to be problems for you. There's going to be problems for your family. Meanwhile, other people were coming to Dimitri and saying, we want to be a part of your church. He said, no, it's not a church. I'm not a pastor. We're just telling Bible stories and we're just praying prayers. He even tried to tell the government that this is not a church. We're just telling Bible stories and we're just praying prayers. You would think with that kind of faith that God would just watch over Dimitri and he would have this little safe haven. But eventually, as the numbers begin to grow, and they even said that people crammed into his little house and some were peering through the windows until the crowd got to be about 75. They were just listening to Bible stories and they were just doing that thing week after week until the government finally came in and one of the commanders in front of the little crowd that was there, they beat up Dimitri and they pummeled him and they warned him, if you don't stop this, there's going to be danger. There was an old godly woman in that crowd that looked at that commander and said, you have just attacked the man of God. It will not be well for you. That was on a Tuesday. On a Thursday, that commander dropped dead of a heart attack. The next Sunday, there was 150 people crammed in that little place. True story. Eventually, Dimitri lost his job. His wife lost her job. They kicked their two boys out of school. And then eventually they took Dimitri from his family and they threw him in a prison many, many, many miles away where he was totally separated from all of his loved ones in that village. And he was put in prison for 17 years. I'm telling you, folks, sometimes faith is not enough. You just got to trust him. You got to trust him. Dimitri's own testimony every morning in his little prison cell with all the stench, with all the dirt, with all the ugliness of that situation and things more horrible than you can imagine. He would get up in the morning. He would stand at attention. He would raise his hands and he would praise God. After he was done praising God, he would sing the same song of worship. He called it his heart song, a song of love to the Lord. He would sing that song while he was singing. 1,500 prisoners, they would begin to laugh. Some close to him would throw all kinds of junk and debris, even their own waste. They would throw at him in his little cell and they would mock him. He did that every single day for 15 years or 17 years until finally those prison guards, after beating him and torturing him and mocking him for 17 years, they convinced him, we have your family right now, and if you don't recant, we will do all kinds of evil to them. You will never see them again. And his faith got to such a low point that he said, okay, you bring the document tomorrow morning and I will sign that I don't believe in Jesus. Because sometimes even faith reaches a limit. In that night, before he was going to recant, he began to cry to the Lord. And at that moment, about 1,000 miles away, His family had got the village together, not knowing anything about what was going on. And they were there in that little house where he used to have those little Bible studies. And they started praying, "Oh God, we don't know where Dimitri is, but please give him courage right now. Please restore his faith right now." And God somehow opened up the windows of heaven so Dimitri could see and hear his very own family and friends all those many miles away praying for him. He could hear their voices. And so the next morning he woke up and he was back to his routine, worshiping God, singing his song. He didn't lose his faith. He kept his trust in God. And what really amazed me about this story, what really, really convicted me about this story is eventually they said, "We're going to execute you." And on the day of his execution, they marched him out of his cell. And as they marched him to the place where he was to be executed, the story says that 1,500 prisoners stood at attention and raised their hands and began to sing the same song to Jesus that Dimitri had sung for 17 years, every single day. There was something about that man's trust in God that became a witness and an example to 1,500 prisoners. Until the Lord worked through that situation and stunned and amazed the guards, and they just eventually let him go back to his family, back to his home, back to his faith in God. Sometimes I think that God gets amazing glory out of people with amazing faith that believe God can heal and God can deliver and God can bless and God can save, and all the glory that goes to Jesus. But other times, I believe God gets amazing glory from people with amazing trust that even though they don't get the healing, everybody knows they're still faithful. Even though they don't get the miracle, everybody knows you can count on them to serve Jesus with all of their heart. Even though they don't see what even it seemed like God had promised them, everybody knows there goes somebody that trusts in Jesus. And I feel like God has reminded me this week that our faith is not just for our own benefit, so that we might see the miracles that we need God to do for us. But maybe there's something about our faith that is supposed to bring glory to God. And our trust in the Lord is so valuable, because even when God doesn't work through our faith, if we will trust him, he will get all the glory from our lives. He will get all the glory from our families. He will even get all the glory from our church if we can say, "No matter what happens, I know God can and I know God will. But if he doesn't, I will trust him." As the musicians come, I wonder if you would raise your hands and say, "God, I want my life to bring you glory. 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 I want the miracle, Lord, but what I really want is to bring you glory. I want the victory, God, but what I really want is to bring you glory. I want the answer, God, but what I want more than that is to bring you glory." And so if you can be glorified through my faith, so be it. But if you can be even more glorified through my trust, I will trust you. Can you say in Jesus' name? And so just a few weeks ago, I was in a service in the Netherlands, and a pastor got up and he stood before his congregation, and he quoted these words. Of course, he was speaking in Dutch, but they translated for us. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. He read, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It was quite an amazing service to attend, because that was Sunday, just a few days before on a Tuesday, I watched this man that had been the sweetheart to his wife for 30 years almost put her in the ground as she died at the young age of just 50. All the prayer, all the faith, and she was still gone. And so here we are on the Sunday after the funeral, and the whole congregation is looking at their pastor. What's going to happen? How's it going to be? What's he going to do? What's he going to say? And he reads, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And he looks at this crowd and he says, "I just want you folks to know something. My life does not belong to me. My wife did not belong to me. We were bought with a price. And so anything that happens to us is all about bringing him glory." And it totally awakened in me a fresh appreciation that every time there's a miracle, we celebrate the miracle, but it's not just so that our lives are better because we got through a rough spot. It's to bring him glory. So even if we don't get the miracle that we're hoping for, and I'm not speaking about anything in particular right now because I'm believing for every miracle that's here today. But even if we don't, if we will trust him, he will get the glory. And what a wonderful way to live, that at the end of the day, I put all my faith in you, Jesus, and I put all my trust in you, Lord. But no matter what the outcome is, I just want you to receive the glory from my life. I just want you to receive the glory from my family. I just want you to receive the glory from everything that happens to me. What a fresh perspective when you're coming to God for a miracle. It takes all the pressure off. Because God, I really need this healing. But if I don't get the healing, you deserve the glory. So I'm going to trust you. What a way to live. What a way to live. God, I've been praying and fasting for the situation in my home, in my family. We got to have a miracle. But God, even if the miracle doesn't happen today, I can guarantee you this, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give you all the glory. I'm going to give you all the praise, because at the end of the day, that's what I'm here for, to bring you glory. And even as I stand here today, I am trusting God for a miracle for Elder John Ponjakin. But I'll tell you right now, he's already given God the glory. He's already been a testimony. He's already shared enough confidence in the Lord that's inspired me and now all of you, because he was able to say, "Here's where we are, Pastor. We know God can and we know God will." But even if he doesn't, he is still a healer. And so you know what? We're just going to give him glory. I wonder if somebody would stand, and right where you're standing, even with your need, even with your circumstance, you would say, "Lord, I want my miracle. But what I want even more than my miracle is I want to give you glory. I want to give you glory." Is there anybody that would come to the altar that needs a miracle today, and you would stand with me here and you would raise your hands and say, "God, I'm coming right now because I believe you can and I believe you will. But even if you don't, I'm going to give you all the glory. I'm going to give you all the praise. My life is going to be a testimony of faith and trust in Jesus." Come on, I believe miracles are about to happen. I believe miracles are about to happen. I believe miracles are about to happen. But I want us to settle the issue that regardless of what God does in any situation, I will trust him and give him all the glory. I will trust him and give him all the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus.